As tired of sleep as any of the pod's scarce distractions, Dadaab kept his station before the panel, monitored the sensors, searching for any hint of an approaching ship. He tried to breathe as little as possible, and only broke his watch to help the Hurrigok feed. Many more cycles passed. All the while, the alien boxes hummed their petty blasphemies, and lighter-than-sum sacks swelled and shrunk until, without warning, the pod detected a jump signature close at hand, and Dadaab at last allowed himself the indulgence of relief.
"Castaway vessel, this is the cruiser Rapid Conversion," the hail boomed throughout the pod.
Lighter-than-sum released a pained whistle as Dadaab fumbled for the switch that would reduce the transmission's volume.
"Respond if you are able," the voice continued at a more reasonable level.
"We live, Rapid Conversion,"
Dadaab replied, voice cracking from lack of use,
"but our situation is dire."
In the last few cycles, the Hurrigok's appetite had fallen off. Its anaerobic sac was now producing at a fraction of its previous capacity, and many of lighter-than-sum's dorsal sacs had shut down entirely as their membranes dried out and folded in upon themselves.
"I beg you,"
Dadaab gasped. He reached for his mask and took a halting drag from his almost empty second tank.
"Please, hurry."
"Remain calm," the voice growled. "You will soon be brought on board."
Dadaab did his best to comply. He inhaled the pod's thinning methane in quick, shallow gulps, only resorting to his mask when the burning in his lungs became unbearable. But at some point, he must have abstained too long, because his world went black, and he collapsed. When he awoke, he was belly down on the floor, and he could hear the hiss of fresh methane bleeding into the pod. Dadaab's nostrils flared. The gas had a bitter tang, but he thought he'd never tasted anything sweeter. With a happy grunt, he twisted his neck to look up at lighter-than-sum, and was shocked to see the creature crumpled on the floor beside him. "They were inside the cruiser," Dadaab realized, "and its artificial gravity had permeated the pod." Suddenly there was a furtive scratching at the pod's hatch. Something was trying to force its way inside.
"Stop!"
Dadaab screamed. He leapt to his feet, only to have them collapse beneath him. Floating in zero-G, his muscles had atrophied, and the deacon was forced to claw his way along the floor to the control panel.
"Don't open the hatch!"
he shouted, hitting the switch to enable the pod's stasis field. Instantly, the air crackled and thickened. A moment too late, he realized what else the switch would do. The pod's thrusters lit with an ear-splitting roar, and the craft leapt forward with a metal-on-metal screech, then stopped with a monumental clang. The pod's nose crumpled down and in, crushing the three alien boxes against the control panel. Restrained by the field, Dadaab felt none of the acceleration or impact, but he did have a searing pain in his left arm. Pieces of the boxes had exploded outward, and while the field had quickly stopped the shrapnel, one razor-sharp fragment had sufficient velocity to slice past Dadaab, cutting through his hardened skin just below the shoulder. Ignoring the pain, Dadaab grasped the Hurrigok's tentacles and hoisted the creature from the floor. Its usually clammy flesh felt dry. The deacon knew this wasn't a good sign. As quickly as he thought safe, he puppeteered lighter-than-sum's tentacles until it was in a natural pose, snout high, anaerobic sac dangling low. Suspended in the field, the least damaged of the Hurrigok sacs slowly began to inflate. But Dadaab knew it would take time before his friend was ready to float unassisted. Quickly, he reached for the control panel and hit a switch to lock the hatch. Heavy footfalls announced the arrival of something massive outside the pod.
"By the prophets," a voice thundered. "Are you mad?"
"I had no choice," Dadaab retorted.
The hatch rattled, shaking the entire pod.
"Come out this instant," the voice thundered.
Dadaab recognized it as the same one that had delivered the initial hail. He knew it wasn't Kigyar, or Ungoy, or Sangeli, and certainly not Sanshum. That left only one possibility.
"I will not,"
Dadaab's voice quavered as he thought of whose pride he might be offending.
"My Hurrigok has lost its balance. I'm sorry, but you'll just have to wait."